joyful play,
purposeful work,
rugged outdoor living,
our camps and conservation efforts,
teach timeless skills,
and kindle the spirit within.
Farm and wilderness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Farm and Wilderness podcast. The trees are brilliantly green in Vermont. I didn't realize how vibrant the world looks right when the leaves pop right after winter. The green is great in the summer, but right here at the beginning, they feel fluorescent, almost like quivering in excitement for the warmth to come back. It's pretty spectacular. My name is W. I'm one of the camp directors here and director of camps at Farm and Wilderness and the host of this limited spring series. If you're already a part of Farm and Wilderness, welcome. If you're new to us, also welcome. We are a community of seven camps located in Plymouth, Vermont, about 15 minutes south of Killington, Vermont, and serve campers aged 4 to 17 across a wide variety of camps. You can check out our website at farmandwilderness.org. We're on YouTube, we're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, and now this podcast. In my episode about Flying Cloud, I dug a bit deeper in who we are at F&W and our history. So if you want to know more, I encourage you to check out that episode. Today's episode is great. It explores the second oldest camp here at Farm and Wilderness, Firefly Song, formerly known as Indian Brook. This is also the first episode covering a Woodward camp, one of the four camps that are on the original property. Firefly Song is significantly different than the ones we've talked about so far. Firefly Song, or also known as FS, is our largest camp that usually has around 115 campers and about 60 staff each session. All the campers go on trips. They can choose from all of the six activity areas. That's arts, barns and gardens, outdoor living skills, rocks and ropes, waterfront, and work projects. FS serves female and non-binary campers 9 to 14 and is a great introductory camp for families new to F&W. A couple notes to my listeners before we jump in. First, I believe you can't actually fully separate gender and FS, and that FS is also going through transitions that many other traditionally girls camps across the country are, as they work to be both inclusive and empowering to their roots. When I go into the history, I'll talk about FS in terms of a girls camp, because that's how Susan Webb described the camp in the beginning. When we get to the interview with current director Clarissa, you'll hear a bit about the focus now on female and non-binary campers. Second, let's talk about the name, Firefly Song. It used to be known as Indian Brook and was changed in the last few years, about the same time as a bunch of other camps across the nation were really grappling with our and their histories of cultural appropriation. When I read quotes about the history, I'll use the original name, Indian Brook, and when I'm describing the camp kind of today, I'll use the current name, Firefly Song. I'm going to be going back to Beyond Our Wildest Dreams, the book by Susan and Ken Webb that was recently revised and updated by Christy Webb, their granddaughter and longtime member of the F&W community. And there is so much written about FS in there compared to the previous three camps, which makes sense given the age of FS. FS opened in 1941, just 2 years after Timberlake, the first camp, opened in 1939. Susan and Ken noticed that the sisters of the campers at Timberlake, which was an all-boys camp at the time, were interested in having that experience. And Susan and Ken needed to decide between having girls at Timberlake or opening up an entirely new camp. Here's a quote from Susan Webb describing that decision. "We are often asked why Ken and I, who believed so strongly in progressive education, didn't just add girls to the already established Timberlake. Modern schools, following the philosophy of progressive education, believe boys and girls should be together from nursery school on. We had considered that, but the boys were well settled with activities designed to meet their interests. Also, we had noticed that when girls were in activities with boys, they soon found themselves doing the chores and the dishes. They simply didn't get a chance to learn skills for themselves. As one simple example, when girls began to chop wood, the boys would soon take over. We felt that girls needed to realize that they could be just as expert in the same skills as the boys and could learn to be competent individuals on their own. Independent women were a goal. Also, from ages 7 to 12, we began at age 7 then, boys and girls have a sort of hate-you-love-you relationship. The girls loved the square dances. The younger boys, for the most part, hated dancing and had to be dragged out on the floor. We believe that boys and girls of these ages should not be in a competitive situation. Now, when I hear that quote now, I know that there is absolutely differing opinions in the world about gender-specific educational spaces, and that many of the same ideas that we use today to promote those spaces can be heard in Susan describing the decision way back at the beginning to open a camp for and designed for girls, rather than just adding on to Timberlake, the boys' camp. They started FS at the south end of the lake. TL is located at the north end. And that first summer, they had 12 campers, nearly all of them sisters of Timberlake campers. However, the book talks about one camper found the camp in an unusual way. One camper had a mom who picked up the book Summer Magic, written by Ken and Susan Webb, thinking it would be a light romance suitable for beach reading. Instead, she became so intrigued with the philosophy of the camps that she sent her daughter to, at that time, Indian Brook. There are now two generations of that family, which have been campers at F&W. The first director of FS was a woman named Muriel Grant, whose husband ran the Timberlake waterfront at the time. She couldn't come back for summer too, so Susan decided to run the camp. And Susan Webb directed for 32 years, a number I can't even begin to fathom as I go into my fourth summer. The first cabins that were used were Birches and Beaver Lodge, and each had only 6 campers and 2 counselors. Like the early years of Timberlake, the campers there were building the first structures for their brand new camp. In 1943, campers built part of what is now the present-day lodge where they eat all their meals. In fact, construction was a big part of FS in those early years. Leonard Penny, the maintenance man at FS, insisted that the FS campers were as good, if not better, at carpentry than the Timberlake campers. And no disrespect to any of my Timberlake campers who are listening to this, I have found that to be true, actually, when we do our work socials with FS generally. At that time, TL and FS did join together to do construction projects, and this one sentence rang true to me as like the current director. Quote, there were joint work projects with Timberlake, but these were difficult to coordinate since the two camps seemed to run on different time schedules. That is still so true today as we try to do socials with FS. Back then, campers did many of the activities that we still currently do, although they did spend time at Wakio's Indian Village, hence the original name Indian Brook. I talked about Wakio in the Flying Cloud episode, and as a reminder, he was a former Timberlake staff member and was a member of the Akwesasne Mohawk Reservation near Hogansburg, New York. During World War II, he was a fighter pilot in the South Pacific and earned the Purple Heart, and he taught early campers for Timberlake and Firefly Song, Indian Brook at the time, at that Indian village. A surprising fact that I didn't realize about FS is they actually had horseback riding in the early years. I get that question with decent frequency now when I'm doing my recruiting. And back then, FS, they had 8 horses, and the campers could ride if they paid an extra fee. That was surprising to hear, both the fact that they had horses and that they have extra fees for camp programming. Today at F&W, there's no additional program fees like that. There's no camp store that you need to buy stuff at once you're there. But then when I read on to see how the campers handled it, that felt very modern F&W. Susan Webb in the book talks about how many campers were there on campership, which is our name for scholarships, and they couldn't afford to ride the horses. The campers came together and decided by consensus that if everyone couldn't join the program, no one should. With that, horseback riding was given up and any sort of additional fees for camp programming was also given up, which is a pretty great origin story for FS. We had a board meeting here on campus a few weeks ago, and I heard a term there that I hadn't heard for a while and didn't really understand what it meant, flying squirrels. And I actually found out based on reading this book. So it's describing the first 3 children of staff who worked at the camp, lived with the nurse in Birch's cabin. One night, flying squirrels crawled into the cabin and made a huge commotion. And there are vivid descriptions of them clinging to the porch screens. Thus, those three girls that were in the cabin were given the name of flying squirrels. Although we haven't seen those flying squirrels in a long time here at the camps. This name now reflects any campers of current camp staff who are working, although we haven't used that name for a while. I encourage you to check out that book, Beyond Our Wildest Dreams, because there are decades of Firefly Song history, and I don't really have time for all of that, but I will leave you with a quote from Sally Belfridge, a former FS camper. "I went to Indian Brook when I was 10 in 1947, and for the next 3 years, we extended the lodge and shingled it and stained it and made a new chapel on the hill. This work was amazing. It actually started to make sense to me. After you got past resenting it as an intrusion on your time and energy and realized the triumph of doing it well. And there was the work of climbing a mountain, very much the same thing when you came to it, a taxing struggle towards a double victory over yourself and the mountain. The point is, without having the taxing struggle forced on me, I never would have gone for it and life would have been quite different. There by the lake and the mountains, I learned something of the reciprocal relationship of pleasure and responsibility, the reliance of one on the other, and the creativity and worth of work. The other great gift Indian Brook left to me seemed equally pointless to start with, the silent meetings. Again, it was a matter of breaking through some invisible barrier on the one side, anxiety, restlessness, and boredom, and on the other side, peace and happiness of a new kind." It may seem a cruelty at first to inflict on people what they dislike and resist, but it depends on what's being inflicted, who is choosing the matter, and the method. The Webbs had a perfect gift for it, for how gently to convey to a bunch of lazy, crazy children a foundation of meaning. The current director of Firefly Song is Clarissa, who started her F&W career at the age of 19, working as a cabin counselor and a dishwasher. We don't really have dishwashers anymore. She taught high school for 10 years and went on to get a PhD in teaching and teacher education. And most recently, before F&W, was a professor at the University of Maine at Farmington. She enjoys skiing with her two sons. She talks about skiing all the time, biking up and speeding down small mountains, writing letters, and making cakes. On a personal note, it has been incredible to work with Clarissa so closely. Timberlake and Firefly Song, we're counterpart camps, and we're working, Clarissa and I, to build a solid relationship between the two, because we know that when campers make relationships between TL and FS, friendships, really, that helps drive them to Tamarack Farm and really become lifelong friends forever and ever, which is great. She is an incredible partner in the work, and her and I literally spend hours each week talking camp. In this episode, she'll talk about what Firefly Song is like today, which campers do best there, and a bit of the backstory on that name change. A little heads up, today's episode is actually the very first one I recorded, and I appreciate your grace ahead of time. The audio is a little rougher. We were still using one microphone then. There's some random noises in the background that I don't remember what they were. So again, I appreciate your patience with the audio on this one. And now, on to my conversation with Clarissa, director of Firefly Song. Welcome to the podcast, Clarissa. First off, who are you? I'm really excited to have this conversation because we are counterparts and we chat about things so often, and this is kind of letting people into that. But who are you? How'd you end up at Farm and Wilderness?
Well, who am I? I'm your other half. I'm your better half. I'm the director at one of these camps. I'm the director at Firefly Song. How did I end up at Farm and Wilderness? Actually, had dinner with my sister last night, and my sister was a camper at Farm and Wilderness in the 70s, presumably. I was actually never a camper here, but everybody in my family except me was. We all still think it's a mystery why I didn't get sent as a camper. I went to some other camp, which was fine. I liked my other camp, but everybody else came here and we don't know why I didn't. I became a staff person here in the mid 80s. I was in college and I needed a summer job, and I knew about Farm and Wilderness, and somebody in my family said, oh, you should go work at Farm and Wilderness. And, you know, having not been a camper, I didn't really know very much. And I decided, sure, I'll apply. So I applied. I actually will admit, I don't think I had a ton of skills. I had been doing a lot of restaurant work. I'd been a dishwasher and, you know, all the parts of the kitchen. I had, you know, done tons and tons of kitchen work, and which I loved. I loved working in a restaurant. And the director at the time must have seen something in me, which I think is something that we pride ourselves on now, is seeing something in staff and, you know, being open to bringing lots of different types of staff here. So she hired me, and I was hired as the dishwasher, and lived in a cabin, and I loved it. And I found all these other things that I was engaged by at camp. I think I started hanging out on the waterfront and working informally with kids there, and was very, very clear that I wanted to come back to Farm and Wilderness, and I knew that I needed to get some more skills. So over the course of the year, between my first and my second year, I did my lifeguard training and I did water safety instruction. And so I was able to come back and be a waterfront staff, which I continued to do for, you know, five, six, quite a few years. And also lived in a cabin with kids, loved living in a cabin with kids. Some of the campers that I had in the mid 80s are now parents of campers that are at Firefly Song now, which is a really wonderful full circle kind of experience. So I worked at Firefly Song and in other capacities at Farm and Wilderness, basically for 10 years, for all of my 20s, really. And during the not camp season, I was a school teacher. So, you know, I would teach all year long and then come to camp in the summer. And it was a truly amazing, positive, exhausting, brilliant experience that I have no regrets about at all. And I learned so many different things. I was given so many opportunities to try different things, you know, to be a lodge head, to be in charge of all the 13 and 14 year olds, to help the staff that were in cabins with 13 and 14 year olds grow themselves, you know, to work on the waterfront, to lead trips, to lead hiking trips, canoeing trips. And then I went away and did a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah, no, I love that journey. And I love too that you and I both were not campers at camp and kind of discovered it as adults. And as I think about the work you and I are doing, so much of it is focused on the staff experience, right? Because that's where we started, in addition to the work we do with campers. Did you ever picture yourself as director? I certainly didn't. Did you?
Yes and no. I think in my last, you know, 15 or 20 years of my career, during which time I've been a college professor and a high school teacher, I don't think I necessarily thought about being a camp director. But I will say that in my late 20s, I guess, when I was coming towards the end of my time at Farm Rulers, I did actually apply to be the director at Firefly Song, and I did not get the job. And I am forever grateful. I am so grateful. Not because I didn't want the job, but because I wouldn't be here now if I had gotten the job then. You know, I wouldn't have been a camp director at that point and then come back and done this now. And now, right now, feels like the perfect moment to be the director at this camp and at this organization with the other team of people that I'm working with, that I have the great pleasure to work with, because it really is an amazing team to be part of. So yeah, I guess I envisioned being a director, but I think it was kind of one of these things where I threw my hat into the ring just thinking, oh, I'll try this, but it wasn't the right thing at the time. And so I feel like it was a great, you know, not wrong turn, but turn in a different direction, that has worked out really well in the end. And then when the position opened recently, I guess I did think, oh, maybe I would like to be a camp director. And I've been wanting to come back to Farm and Wilderness forever and have never managed it. You know, my life and, you know, raising my children and being in the career that I was in I couldn't make it fit. I didn't make anything come together, right? But I always thought, oh, it'd be great to go to camp for a few weeks. And it never happened. And when the director position opened, it all came together. And now I really get to be here for 10 weeks in the summer.
Yeah. I mean, our work is so much more than just the 10 weeks, kind of what we're doing right now. But again, I love that. So we've talked about you and a little bit of who you are and your background and how you got to Farm Wilderness, which I think is always a really interesting part of any conversation with anyone here. Let's talk about program. Let's talk about Firefly Song. Now, I think a lot of people see our camps as kind of the same, but just different genders. And you and I both know that that is not the case. Kind of on paper, maybe we're very similar, but there's a lot of like nuances, and that's what I really want to, I'm excited to dig in with that, dig into that with you. So let's start with empowerment. This is something I've heard you talk a lot about, and I know it's something that is in kind of how we think about and present Firefly Song to folks who maybe don't know us. And so tell me what empowerment looks like at camp and kind of the day-to-day life of our campers.
I think that, I mean, it can mean a lot of different things. I think one of the images that comes to me is really the physical image of campers, in my case, girls and non-binary youth, ages 9 to 14, sort of physically stepping forward, but it's a metaphor, right? Like they're physically stepping forward. You know, we circle up before meals to have announcements, to talk about what is going to be on the table, to address any, you know, dietary questions that people need to have. You know, what am I going to be allergic to? You know, or where are the allergens in food, whatever. And we make announcements, and announcements can range from like really not trivial, because we try not to have trivial announcements, but, you know, time things, who needs to show up where, who's got chores. And campers have announcements, you know, things that they want to share. And, you know, they sort of maybe step forward from the circle a little bit to share their announcement, to speak in front of 100 people. And so I think of that, you know, putting yourself out, putting yourself out there, sharing, you know, your voice, your words, your questions, your thoughts. And I think, you know, whether it's volunteering, whether it's offering to, you know, answer a question. But, you know, my image of the physicality of it is really, it's really about, that's a metaphor for campers being confident in themselves, feeling like they know something, or they're ready to greet something. They want to do something, and they're going to make it happen. You know, they're not going to just sit back. They're going to make it happen. They learn our activity areas. They learn which activity areas they're most drawn to. They walk towards those and figure out how to interact with them.
As you think about the work that you are currently doing, as you're kind of building out Firefly Song, you're really thinking about your next few years here, how do you see empowerment further fitting into that and the story of Firefly Song?
I think I want everything to be a little more explicit. You know, I think we're doing this amazing work, and many campers articulate how strong camp makes them feel, how camp makes them feel like a self that they're proud of. Camp makes them feel like they have skills and can do things. But I think I want us to have a more articulated picture of what our goals are and what we are, you know, what we're trying to give kids. You know, we want them to walk away with certain skills, and those skills are, you know, hard skills, physical skills, as well as, you know, character development, you know, getting to know who you are, getting to understand where you sit in a community, and the link between you and the community, and the back and forth, the interdependence, you know, the way we don't expect you to do something on your own. You will have people to help you, and you can try something on your own. And so I want all campers to feel that they can see, you know, what the goals are, what we're striving for, and then how we achieve them. What are the different, you know, activities? What are you drawn to? I think, taking a little bit of a side note, although I think still answering your question, you know, I hope that in our activity areas, you know, which are we have these sort of stock farm and wilderness areas, barns and gardens, we have animals, we grow vegetables and flowers. We have a waterfront where you can swim and, you know, practice boating, learn boating skills. We have creative arts where all sorts of different, you know, craft, art, making, you know, making things with your hands, envisioning things in your mind and turning them into products and projects, work projects, carpentry and construction. I want us to define and give campers slightly more structured opportunities to dive into those areas and know that there are skills they can develop within each of those areas. Outdoor living skills, the other one I did not mention. You know, really learn that you can figure out how to build fires, build lots of different fires, fires in different settings, prepare your own food over a fire that you've built. And so think about what each of those areas represents and how you want to move forward in developing your skills and connection to those areas and how those areas matter, why they matter, because they're not just random. These are not just random activity areas that we've, you know, thrown out there. They all help us think about the land around us, our connection to this space, this physical space, this geographical space, this, you know, forested lake water space. And I want campers to feel more in tune with that space and aware of their responsibility to and what they benefit from. You know, we benefit from this space, but we also have an obligation to it. And, you know, this space in Vermont, but that in the end, you wish to translate to other spaces as well, because that creates our sense of, you know, connection, responsibility to the broader land that we live on and connect with.
There's so much there. It's like there's about 10 different directions.
Did I do too much?
No, I think that was great. But what I think is really interesting is your the word choice of empowerment, right? And that so many camps talk about self-esteem or challenging themselves or kind of growth. And this word empowerment is like really unique and really specific. And I think that's something really interesting. And you sort of talked a little bit about, you know, our land and where we're at and who we are. How do you see this concept of empowerment fitting into the broader like collection of farm wilderness camps and mission and values and this big thing that is F&W?
Right. I mean, I think for me, it's synonymous with confidence and competence, and that you are developing your confidence, you're developing competence in different areas, and those things make you feel empowered. Those character pieces give you a sense of empowerment. You know, I think unfortunately we still live in a society where female and non-binary people, statistically speaking, have less power. Mm-hmm. We, you know, I can't cite you the numbers per se, but we know that there's less money in careers that they're in or in the jobs that they do. We know that they have to work harder for the same thing. And so what we can do at camp is try to keep pushing our campers and our staff to feel more empowered, which is something they then take out into this world we live in, where hopefully that sense of empowerment pushes them forward into important work that is, you know, making us have access to, or, you know, create a better world, not just have access to, but create a better world.
Yeah. I think the exciting part about this work with you is that, you know, Timberlake and Firefly Song are not mirror copies in my brain. We're very much puzzle pieces that are fitting together in the way that like empowerment is not something I'm going to talk to my campers about for all the reasons you just kind of mentioned why it was so important there. And that for my boys and non-binary campers, they tend to be pretty empowered kind of wherever they're at. And so I like this work that we're doing together to say, hey, as a group of camps, while we're all in the pursuit of challenging campers and having them live simply in kind of this rugged outdoors that we are, we're both approaching it in different ways. And I think that's some of the power of our camps together. I do at some point want to have you back on to have that big gender conversation. Because I think it's a really good one, but not necessarily for this conversation, because we need another couple hours for that. The evolution of Farm Willis and gender and all that is a big one. And so listeners, we will come back to that at some point, but I want to talk about program more specifically, what the kids are doing. And, you know, folks who are listening, you heard me at the top really describe the program. And I talked about what the activities areas are, and there's something about the size of your camp and my camp that really allows us to offer a ton of choice, right? And that agency and empowerment comes from campers deciding what they want to do right at a given time. You've seen a lot of different activities at Firefly Song. I'm sure you've seen some really great ones. I'm sure you've seen some ones that were less great because that happens. And thinking either about like specific activities or just general things, what are some of the best ones that you've seen at Firefly Song?
I think for me, this summer was probably in some ways the summer of Barns and Gardens, and realizing how fun the Barns and Gardens space is for campers. I think I don't remember. I'm not myself a big farmer or gardener. I don't do super successful work with a garden. I have actually kept some chickens alive and they're laying eggs, which right now is a real gift. But I'm not a big farming gardening person. And I think what I remember from camp in the 80s isn't very much about the Barns and Gardens. And when I came to camp this summer and started connecting with our farmer, the head farmer of our, you know, Farm and Wilderness wide farm program, who's an amazing expert with a lot of great ideas, I really was blown away by all the different cool things that we can do in our Barns and Gardens program. And then really more importantly, I was blown away by how much fun campers have with the animals and how much they love the bunnies and the goats. And the goats were just like this magic highlight of the summer. And it is amazing. It is like the goats are bizarre and silly and weird. And we have baby goats that get born in the summer and campers just go wild for it.
I mean, goats are puppies, right? They're jumping around. They want to hang out with you. They want to be petted. Like, yeah, it's great.
They're so hysterical. They have so much character. I really was totally blown away by that. Like, I think some of the other activity areas, I kind of knew what to expect and I did not see it coming, the excitement that campers had. And then by extension, the excitement I had. Like partway through the summer, I realized I could go into the goat pen and climb down on the ground and the goats would climb all over me. And this is hysterical. Like, this is an absolutely hysterical experience. And it was really a huge highlight of the summer. You know, I think that doing programming around animals and, you know, gardens and where we get our food and, you know, what role animals play, what role gardening and production of produce plays is really a valuable learning experience for campers. I think selfishly or personally also the waterfront, you know, where I worked for many years. And I am somebody who loves to swim. And I think we're running a really pretty solidly wonderful waterfront program with great staff who are teaching campers to swim. We, you know, we really take swimming lessons very seriously and get campers in the water. Okay. I got in the water teaching, I can teach swim lessons. And campers were like, you can teach swim lessons? And I was like, I can teach swim lessons. You're going to get in the water? I'm like, I'm going to get in the water. And though, you know, I was not teaching swimming lessons every day, let's be clear, but I pinch hit a few times and it was really fun. And for me, you know, to kind of go back to this notion of empowerment, I would say one of the places that I feel the most empowered is when I am doing distance swimming. When I get in the water and I swim from the waterfront at Firefly Song to Bear Pit, which is maybe a half mile swim with boats and lifeguards, and, you know, all the safety accoutrements. My body loves that. And I walk away from that feeling really powerful. I want campers to have that feeling too. I want, you know, for me, it's really physical. It's not so much, I mean, it's physical that then translates to something psychological. Like, my body does this work of swimming and then my head feels really psyched and powerful. And I want campers to have that. Like, I know how that feels for me. And I want kids to walk away with that as well. And I think many of them do when we do our distance swims. You know, as the summer goes on, we work up to longer and longer swims for campers. And they get pretty excited about it. And I think they get to have that experience too.
It's impressive that for folks who aren't aware of our lake, that is practically across the lake, that thing that you were doing and that we were having campers do. So you talked about a little bit of the farm and farm wilderness, which I think is great. Your unique self-care approach is goats climbing on you. I respect that. I think it's great. Again, going back to the activities of Firefly Song, you sort of already answered this, but I'd love to dig a little bit more. What does FS do really well?
I think we, I was going to say we make, but I think we help campers feel pretty excited about, you know, wielding tools, building things, whether those things are artsy things or whether those things are construction things, working with knives and axes and ropes and, you know, clearing trails, filling in potholes. Pothole filling in was a really popular activity this summer. Who knew? Again, these are the surprises, right? You don't know what's going to be successful. You don't know what campers are going to eat up. And they ate up pothole filling in, which basically involved going and hauling gravel and then dumping gravel into potholes. So kind of physical work, like pretty, you know, significant physical work. What do we do well? We do singing well, but I think other camps do singing well as well. But I think what's a measure of doing something well? Joy. Seeing campers' joy is a measure of doing something well. I think campers love singing. You know, we'll start singing, then we go to stop and they want more. So we have to decide, do we give them more? Do we have to stop? There's a balance there. But I think that the joy that we see them having is a measure that we're doing something well. So singing would be one of them. I think putting campers in boats, having them boat around the lake, we do that well. Building things, we do chores well. You know, who knew that putting people to work in a kitchen, scrubbing pots, we no longer have a dedicated dishwasher. The campers do the dishwashing with supervision from staff. So that position that I started out with does not exist for campers anymore, for staff anymore. And I think, you know, we do chores well and campers embrace that and they're really proud of it.
You are touching so much of like what's right in our mission, right? This idea of joyful play combined with purposeful work, right? I also have really visceral memories of campers filling in potholes and of like kids trying to like carry the bucket down the road and like the different ways kids figure out how to carry buckets. Maybe they get a friend or not. At Timberlake, our campers often try to do it themselves, which tracks considering my population kind of age. And so I think that's really great. So Firefly Song has all these great programs, and you've talked a little bit about what makes Firefly Song unique. Let's talk about campers for a second. And when you think about what type of camper does really well at Firefly Song, who is that camper?
Well, of course, I want to say all kids can do really well at Firefly Song, but I mean, I've got to answer that more specifically, obviously. I mean, I think we care a lot about community. We care a lot about inclusion. We care a lot about each other. So I think I would like to think that one aspect of a camper, you know, who does well at camp is somebody who, you know, does care about their fellow kid, their fellow person, who has some compassion, who has some interest in knowing other people, in seeing other people succeed. Our campers cheer each other on. Our, you know, to go back to our distance swims, we had the swimmers and then we had the floaters along, you know, I mean, we had the safety crews who were there, you know, to be the safety people. And then so many campers went out in boats to cheer their, you know, their cabin mates on. And so it was really a giant community event. It wasn't just the swimmers. It was a lot of other people, like a big old entourage. So I think, you know, campers who are interested in working with other kids to cheer each other on, I think that, you know, I don't want to say that campers who will do well at Firefly Song are campers who like the outdoors, because I want campers who don't necessarily like the outdoors to come and see that the outdoors is an amazing place and that we're going to help you connect with the outdoors. I think that many of our campers come from more urban environments. And so coming to Vermont, where it looks really different and it sounds really different and it's dark, and you can see the stars and it's different than your, you know, your urban packed neighborhood, is good for everybody to have that change of scenery, to see what the world looks like someplace else. So if you're scared of the outdoors, then come to camp and we'll help you be less scared of it. If you love the outdoors, come to camp and we'll give you more opportunities to be in it. But we are in the outdoors. And I think that's one of our gifts that, you know, we can offer campers.
When I get asked this question on like the recruitment trail, I often talk a bit about our low competition at camp, right? For campers who are looking for that competitive space, we might not be as a good fit, and that we focus a lot more on like collaboration and community. And I'm assuming that's the same for you there.
Yeah, it is, certainly. I mean, you know, given our sort of Quaker adjacent values and the emphasis that we place on simplicity and equity and community, yes, we are not a highly competitive space. I think I would push back when you said, you know, campers that want to be in a competitive space might not do so well here. But I guess I would say, I think it's really important that they have a window into what it feels like to not be in a competitive space. You know, my own children have done a lot of pretty conventional sports. I have a 22-year-old and a 17-year-old, and they've done, you know, they've done sports. But as a parent, I want for them to be in spaces where sports are not the be-all and the end-all, and where a measure of your success is, it's stripped away from, oh, you're a good athlete. You know, I mean, if I have a child who's number one at, you know, tennis, or, you know, an excellent racer of some sort, and that gives them some credibility, because that's the unfortunate truth of the society we live in, and that, you know, those are markers that give kids power at some level. But that doesn't matter at camp. And I think it's actually really valuable to live in that space where your prowess as an athlete, it isn't how you're defined, and you have to have, or you get to have, other ways of defining yourself. And I think having those multiple ways of defining yourself is really important for kids, because it allows them more confidence and more access to different types of communities and different types of social opportunities. So while I would say, you know, for the competitive athletic kid, yeah, send them to a week of soccer camp, send them to a week of field hockey camp, because they want to train and they want to get those yayas out and they love their sport, and send them to Farm and Wilderness for 3 weeks so that they can step back from that, and nobody's looking to see, were they the fastest? Did they score the most? So I think that, you know, the non-competition, the non-competitive nature is really valuable for those kids who care about competition as well.
I like that nuance that you just had there, the nuance between like competition and athleticism, right? And the physicality of camp. And that's, yeah, but kind of the nature of where we are existing, there is a bit of physicality. And going back to the choice that Firefly and Timberlake both offer, we have space for kids who really want to push themselves physically, right? It's the swimming that you just talked about. It's the hiking. It's the, no matter which camp, lifting heavy things, right? Like, these are things that, in addition to all the community work, these outlets for athleticism still happen too. And I have to talk to parents about that too, that like, they're going up and down a hill every day, right?
Your body is going to feel camp. It's a really physical space, and your body will be interacting with the physical space. And that's great for everybody. You know, that's that movement, that walking around, walking up and down, that's great for everybody. It's great for introverts. It's great for extroverts. It's great for kids who are competitive. It's great for kids who aren't competitive. You know, just that, I don't think it's exactly a contrast to being on screens, but I think, you know, we haven't really talked about this, but one of the things that, of course, is remarkable about our camp is we're unplugged. You know, nobody's on a screen. Nobody has a screen. Nobody's on a screen. Screens are a thing of the past when you arrive at camp, and what you are doing instead is fully inhabiting your body, and your body is fully inhabiting the space of camp and exploring it all day, every day, and then being really exhausted by the end, but a really healthy kind of exhaustion.
Yeah. Supported by a community that is not being competitive around that, that is being supportive in that, and that, yeah, everyone is coming through, whether they're coming from the city or somewhere else, dealing with our trails. And like you said, just kind of walking around all day. I hope some of the people that are listening to this are parents, and I hope some of them are parents who are considering us and wondering, you know, is my kid ready? What does camp do for them? So we've talked about programming. Let's shift a little bit for the parent who might be kind of on the fence a little bit and wants to hear a bit more about how you support your campers at Firefly Song. What does that look like?
I think there's two answers, maybe. One is we, you know, try to support our staff really well, because our staff are the ones that are going to connect with our campers. So it starts with our, you know, really impressive staff training, where we have staff for several weeks before campers come, and we train them up and down and across the board on all manner of, you know, skills and how to work with children, how to understand children, how to de-escalate conflict, how to deal with homesickness, how to engage kids who are bored, how to motivate kids to do chores, how to motivate kids on a trail. But I also think that, you know, the community as a whole is a really supportive community, and campers can find all sorts of different ways to be in that community and to, you know, to make connections and to connect with other campers, to connect with staff. You know, we're a big camp in a sense, you know, 120-ish campers and 50 to 60 staff. We're, you know, like Timberlake, we're one of the biggest, we're the two biggest farm and wilderness camps. And so it is a very different size community than some of our other camps, but we're together all the time. You know, I will know all the kids' names, I would say, by week two. It took me longer last summer. I will say it took me longer last summer because it was my first summer. So it really took almost the full 3 weeks. But because I will be returning as a second year director and half-ish of the kids are kids that were at camp last summer, because I'm clearly setting myself a competitive challenge here right now, I'm guessing that by week two or end of week two, I'll know all the campers' names. And I think I'm accessible. I think all of our staff are accessible. Campers, you know, can talk to the staff, and, you know, I think goes a long distance to helping campers feel seen and feel comfortable. Homesickness is normalized. It's normal to be homesick. I would think it was weird if we didn't have homesickness. And that's a space we live in, sort of the dilemma of, wow, this camper's crying and they're also doing an activity and having a really good time. This is weird, but this is camp, you know? They don't want to go home, but they want to cry every night and say, I'm really homesick, but no, I don't want to leave. So we, you know, we live with all of these tensions.
That is so real. I also have visions in my head of kids like bawling, crying, homesick while like going off the rope swing, or like what, like just existing and them figuring out all of their feelings. I love too hearing the really what I think is a combination of wanting campers to have a sense of belonging and wanting to do that with intentionality, right? That like all summer camps in some way give kids a place to be themselves. We're all, you know, everyone says those same things. But when I hear you talk about the staff interactions and the focus and all those things, like we really are wanting kids to feel a deep sense of belonging. And that only happens through the intentionality of your program and the campers eating family style in the, you know, in the main lodge or in their small groups when they're doing activities or when they're celebrating each other on stage at Cocoa House, y'all's talent show, right? Like this is so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talent's a loose word, right? We have so much talent. We have so much talent, and some of it's inexplicable. What was that skit about? I don't know, but a lot of people were laughing, so it has to have been good, but I don't really know what was happening. But the kids are up there, and they're doing it, and they're having so much fun. Again, they're like full of joy.
Yeah, I mean, I describe ours as our talent and not talent show, right? Like, that's why we love our campers and what they do.
Yeah.
So let's shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit something that's more of a deep cut for maybe some of our listeners. And let's talk about the name Firefly Song. Now, those of you who might not be aware, Farm Wilderness, like so many other outdoor education, summer camps, other institutions, have been grappling with our history of Native American appropriation. And some of the steps we've been taking is really looking at our names of things at camp. And Timberlake went through it through renaming some of our cabins that previously had some Native American names. We're looking at some of our other camps. And so this has been a big process, right? From previously going from Indian Brook, the original name, to IB as an interim name, and then Firefly Song. And that has been a complicated kind of process. And so talk to me a little bit about that new name. What does that represent?
Yeah. The name Firefly Song, I think, hits on a number of different things that are sort of important to camp. I mentioned earlier that singing is a big part of the camp that I'm the director of, Firefly Song. So having a nod to our, you know, culture and practice of singing in the name is important. We have you know, we're in Vermont. It's dark. We also have light in the sense that we have fires, campfires, bonfires. We think about the light within each person. And so a name that kind of acknowledges the role that light plays in our, you know, philosophical community fabric is another piece of the Firefly song name choice. We, at the end of the summer, historically send home a kind of an address book, picture,
yearbook.
Catalog, yearbook. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Which was called the Lightning Bug. I still have some of my lightning bugs from the 80s. I brought them to camp with me this summer. They were amazing fodder for campers. Campers loved looking at them and finding their parents and seeing what cabins their parents were in. And so the Firefly song name is also a, you know, a connection to the Lightning Bug publication yearbook. So it's really kind of trying to hit on a number of different thematic elements of our history and our present and our commitment. We have a really strong alumni network and community. You know, people who went to Firefly Song feel really strongly about their time there, their relationships that they made, you know, fiercely loyal and many who come back in one way or another, either through sending their children or through coming and volunteering. We just have this amazing amazing community of folks with really strong connections. And of course, when you create change, it bumps up against people's deep inner feelings and it can create dissonance, I guess. And at the same time, people are willing to see the value in change and embrace it. And I think when we talk about community, or when I mention, you know, our strong alumni network community, I also really want to note that Farm and Wilderness is an ever-changing organization, and we are trying to connect with new families. We, you know, we don't just want to be a place that has families who have a long-standing Farm and Wilderness connection, commitment. You know, we want new families to join us too, because we are made better by connecting with new and different people. And we want people to find us in all sorts of ways, you know, on the internet, on TikTok, on Instagram, and, you know, through friends, through, you know, word of mouth, and to discover this amazing place and be willing to send their children there. And so our community is changing all the time. So for folks who are new to us, the name change, it doesn't mean anything because they don't have the history. And so I think as we're always building and shifting our community, it's interesting to think about, you know, whether it's a tension or just kind of a difference of, you know, for new people, Firefly Song is going to be new. It's just going to be what it is. They don't have any, you know, memory of something different. This is the camp they're meeting. They're meeting Firefly Song. They're meeting me as the director of Firefly Song for the first time, and that's all they know. I think that it's important to think about that range of folks who, you know, are connecting with Farm and Wilderness, are connecting with the camps, and in particular Firefly Song, and how it looks different for everybody.
And so for our listeners to know too that, you know, you went through that naming process, you know, that Firefly Song went through that naming process. And we're also, you know, looking at our relationship with the Abenaki people, whose lands that Farm Wilderness sits on, as well as the Akwesasne tribe in upstate New York, which is a kind of generous of tribe for with which Flying Cloud has been kind of named from. And so this is an ongoing conversation at Farm and Wilderness. Let's turn back to you as we start to kind of close out. What is your vision for Firefly Song? This little question that I'm sure you never get from anyone. Like, what do you see? What's the vision?
Well, let me preface by saying that any vision I articulate has been generously helped by the collaborative work that I think we're all doing as an organization. So the work that the directors are doing together, the work that we're doing with various people to help us, you know, think about what are we doing as an organization. And so there's none of this is just me. And I really want to share that, because in a sense, I think that's also like a metaphor for what camp is. You know, camp is a place where we are interdependent, we are collaborative. You know, yes, I want campers to feel to feel that they are their own developing rock solid self with a sense of agency and empowerment and confidence. And, you know, that they are leaving camp at age 14 with several years of time at camp that helped them, you know, create a path, like a momentum for themselves, but that happened with other people and with support. And so my vision is, you know, my vision is shared or is developed in conjunction with other people. But yeah, I want, you know, I think about staff and campers. You know, again, we are a community. It's the campers are who we are there for, but the staff are a significant part of the community. And so helping the staff who are also largely young, female identified and non-binary people, maybe between the ages of 18 and 26 or 27. And, you know, if we tap into what we know about adolescence and psychology and development, you're still becoming whoever you are all the way up until you're 25 or 26 at some level. So our staff, while, you know, we do a fantastic job training them and preparing them to be, you know, the adults for the campers, they're also still figuring out who they are. And so I think creating a space where campers and staff alike come and feel that they are held and that they are connected and that they're all developing a sense of themselves and both, you know, what you might call hard and soft skills and moving forward. And that Farm and Wilderness leaves a lasting mark, and that they, when I say they, I mean staff and campers, walk away feeling, I got this, and it means I'm going to head into this. And so developing a sense of clarity and mission and purpose. So wanting that for, you know, for everybody in the community, I see Firefly Song and again, all the Farm and Wilderness camps working more closely with some of the resources that we have on site, our resource director, our farm director, our conservation director. You know, we are a set of 7 summer camps and much of the work we do appears to happen in the summer, but really we are a year-round organization with a core group of 20 to 30 people working to make all sorts of amazing things happen. And there's just large amounts of embedded expertise in there. And I really want us to tap into that and create programming that is really thoughtful and that helps campers understand the way our farm works, the way our conservation efforts work, the way, you know, our buildings get grown. You know, I mean, most of the buildings at Firefly Song, for example, were built with the bodies and the hands and tools that our campers and staff brought to it. You know, we don't have outside vendors coming in and doing construction. So we have our hand in things, but I would like all of that to become more transparent and, you know, to have folks with expertise help our programming get more refined and get more developed in such a way that campers really understand the different elements of what Farm and Wilderness has to offer. The farm aspect, the wilderness aspect, the conservation aspect.
What do you want to be remembered for as director?
Well, sometimes during circle, I stand in the middle of the circle because I'm the one making the announcements. And I'm not really a yoga person, but I do this thing where I like stand on one of my legs and stretch my other leg out, and campers imitate me and I'm kind of flattered. So I'd like to be remembered for that. I'd like them to remember the image of Clarissa standing, you know, balancing on one leg. I'd like to be remembered for doing distance swims with campers. A good day is a day when I get to swim to Bear Pit. It's even better if I do it with campers. I want to be remembered for knowing who the campers are. I want to be remembered for showing up and being present with them every day throughout the summer. And I want to be remembered for, you know, for helping our programs, you know, get more developed and refined, and for creating a place where campers and staff alike know unequivocally that they want to spend the summer there, that is the most valuable, fun, worthwhile thing they can do for a summer, and that, you know, whatever leadership it is that I'm providing is really worth coming for.
think that's a really great place to end our conversation. You know, we're not sure if this series is going to survive past the spring. It's up to you listeners to decide if there's something we want to do, but hopefully you and I can have another convo in the fall about some of these things. You've talked about so many different things today. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun to talk about all this stuff.
That was my conversation with Clarissa, the incredible director of Firefly Song. If you'd like to register, apply for a job at, or just learn more, check out farmandwilderness.org. We're on YouTube where you'll find staff talking about the experience and many more videos. You'll also find us on Instagram and on TikTok where we're featuring staff testimonials. This episode has been a part of our limited series for spring 2023. If you subscribe and leave us a good review, we might just be able to come back in the fall. Special thanks to our guest, Clarissa. Original music by Emmett Powers. Recording and editing done by myself. Thanks to everyone at Farm and Wilderness who helped make our summers possible. Our camp vocabulary word for this episode comes from Firefly Song and describes one of their amazing pieces of programming that I really admire. Someday. I'm not mispronouncing Sunday. Someday is the magical day where you never know what zany things can happen. On that day, things throughout the summer that were going to happen someday in the future, happen on that day. It's different every year, but I'm pretty sure there's a pudding drop, which is pretty consistently a part of that big day. And with that, remember, camp magic is real, y'all. Till next time.